Good morning. Let's pray before we look at this passage, 1 Corinthians 6. Father, thank you so much that we have a message from you, which everything we need to know for life and salvation. Today's passage is so different, gives such a different vision for life and faith and sexuality and relationships than so much of what we hear. Please give us ears to hear what you have to say. In Jesus' name. Amen. What are intrinsic human rights? A lot of people got lots of ideas, but if you boil them all down, there are generally three. There is value. Each individual person is a person of value, every individual. There is identity. Every single person is to be honoured, valued and honoured in who they are. And the third one is control. They have a sense of control over their own body, their circumstances, to a certain point where they feel safe, at home, at work, in the world. I was watching a little short YouTube clip of a man named Sam Albury. He's a minister, Anglican minister in England. And a short YouTube clip of him saying this: I am a same-sex attracted man who chooses to follow Jesus' picture, teaching of marriage and relationships. He said, I was bullied when I was young for being gay, and now I'm being bullied for not actively being gay. He's speaking before the Synod, the General Synod, all the ministers and bishops in the church around London. And he's saying, my primary sense of fulfillment and worth as a human being is, I'll pause it for there because it's interesting to say, my primary sense of fulfillment and worth as a human being, who gets to finish that sentence? He was speaking and saying, you have finished that sentence for me. You say that if I am same-sex attracted, that I must live that out. Who gets to finish that sentence? In an Eastern culture, it is the culture, the people around you, the family, the country, your tribe, who tell you where your sense of fulfillment and identity come from. This is our country, this is our nationality, this is our people, and if you step outside of this, we will shame you. But in a Western enlightened culture, we're told that you decide your values. You decide what is right and wrong for you. No one else can. And in a sense, isn't it wonderful? It's good to be free of all the things that people placed on us, the restrictions. Our society, this side of the sexual revolution is, if it feels good, do it. That was my sex education at school. If it feels good, do it. One of my friends who was a real estate agent, he used to always tell me, the only thing stopping you from achieving your dream, Steve, is a negative attitude. I just wanted to slap him. Sam Albury, this minister, he said, my primary sense of worth and fulfillment as a human being is not contingent on being romantically or sexually fulfilled. And this is liberating. He went on, sexuality is not a matter of identity for me. It is good news. It is liberating. The most fully human and complete person who ever lived was Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ never married, had romantic relationships, and so it would be wrong to call romantic pursuits intrinsic to human fulfillment. He said, I was bullied at school for being gay. Now I'm being bullied at Synod for being same-sex attracted, yet faithful to the teachings of Jesus Christ on marriage. Who decides how we live? It's an interesting one. If you look at YouTube, the YouTube clips, most of them have comments enabled. This one had comments disabled. Why? Because words like this would be, you are self-destructive. You are kidding yourself. And you are responsible for the harm teens do to themselves who deny their desires. Freedom. Freedom to live according to what? Who is truly free, and what does freedom look like? That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is talking about, speaking into. One of the slogans, verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 6, was for the Corinthian church, "All things are lawful for me." All things. Free game. In the first century, one of the things that was going on, as I was reading a bit of historical background, is that if my soul is right with God, it doesn't matter what I do with my body. And so what men would be doing after, they call it after dinners, is they'll be going and sleeping with prostitutes. Christian men, married men. Because it doesn't matter. My soul is right with God. My body is free to use however I feel like it. And part of the first century feminist movement was, why are men doing this and not us? And so that's why we read later in the New Testament, women, honour your husbands. That's part of the reason. My soul is right with God, but I'm free to live however I'd like with my body. And that's why some people in 1 Corinthians 11 were coming and gorging themselves on the Lord's Supper. It doesn't matter what I do. Isn't that what you got brought up with? If you're at all under 50 years old, 60 years old, 70 years old, 80 years old, or even if you're older, if you went through the sexual revolution, isn't the whole message, you are free to use your body, your rights? And the Corinthian church, they thought they were free to do whatever they wanted. They thought that being Christian gave them unlimited freedom. And the context of today's passage is something which I find incredibly difficult. It's this, verse 9 and 10 of 1 Corinthians 6. Do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? If you live wrong, ongoing, persistent wrong according to God's eyes, you will not enter the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived, neither sexually immoral. That's anyone who's having sex in any way, shape, or form outside of a marriage relationship between a male and a female. And oh my goodness, shoot me now. For saying that, even saying that, it sounds wrong in today's culture. The sexually immoral will not enter the kingdom of God. Nor idolaters, people who worship other gods or other things. Or idolaters, adulterers. Or men who have sex with men. Nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers. And we look at them and we think, yes, swindlers. Yeah, people who feed on the weakness of others to make money. Yeah, send them to hell. Murderers, robbers. Yeah, yeah. Then we get to the sexual part. And for many of us, we're like, oh, no, 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 no. This is so, so first century. Don't you think? And we just pick and choose. And I find it hard for me to see this. For those who live this side of the cross, we live this side of Jesus, the most human and complete human ever lived, who bore our sins in his body on the tree, who bore our sin, who died for all our wrongs, that we are now, there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, that we are forgiven before God. How should we live? We've got no sins hanging over our heads. What do we do with our freedom? The Corinthian slogan was, all things are lawful for me. After dinners is fine. All things lawful for you. If Jesus died for our sins, past, present and future, doesn't matter how you live right now. Today's passage is focusing on sex, but it's in the context of how you speak, how you deal with other people's possessions, how you treat other people, the least and the needy. Doesn't matter how we live. In a lot of ways, I reckon we want the answer to be no. It doesn't matter how we live. We don't want restrictions. We want to live the Nike ad, just do it. I have a friend on Facebook and he says he is a free soul. I've never seen someone more enslaved to his emotions and his desires than my friend who says he's a free soul. I had a friend when I was at, he was one of the young adults leaders. And he was a faithful teacher. He looked like a wise, godly, humble, patient man who would teach wonderful Bible studies and then leave and trawl the clubs for cheap sex. He was so enslaved by his desires. People said, "You're free." The Apostle Paul gives us an answer about how we use our lives and our bodies that many people today might not want to hear, but he's saying what we're looking towards is what is beneficial, what is not slavery, what is truly together, and what is truly honouring. And he tells us through a situation that's going on in the church. He quotes the Corinthian slogan, verse 12, "All things, I have a right to do anything." But he says, "But not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything," but Paul says, "but to be mastered? To be in slavery?" I once had a friend who was a Christian, and she actually quoted the first half of this all the time. She didn't go to the second half. She said, "All things are lawful for me." And she quoted that all the time. That was her slogan. And what she would do is she would go and sleep with many people, and the guys honestly called her an amusement ride. And it was devastating to be her friend. And it was devastating to see how she was treated. She said, "All things are lawful for me, but are they beneficial? Are they helpful?" She didn't get the Apostle Paul's answer to this slogan, "All things are lawful." And this "all things are lawful" is essentially this is essentially the slogan for the sexual revolution, isn't it? That we can have multiple partners, sex before marriage, and it is totally morally, relationally acceptable. We can have more pornography. We can have more sex on TV. We can have all of this. And what's the result? We have women's rights campaigners saying, "Stop objectifying young women. Stop treating women like sexual items." We have campaigners saying there is so much lostness and anxiety and depression. Diseases, sexually transmitted diseases, infections, which we thought were on the way out, are now in plague, not in plague, but they're saying they come back with a force. We have divorce rates. We have lack of trust in relationships. We have people who are so used to watching pornography now experiencing sexual dysfunction. Live it up and be free. There's no consequences. All things are lawful. There's something so different here. Something so alien and unfathomable as we move forward. People say, "My body, my choice." But here in this passage, the message is different. Verse 13, "You say food for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. Who cares? I eat and I have sex. Whatever." "The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality," for just doing whatever we want with, "but for the Lord and the Lord for the body." Can you see that? What's the body for? It's for the Lord. And this sounds so strange. But then you read passages like this. Psalm 139, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, God, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth." Isn't that beautiful? "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." The value of the human body, the richness and intricacy of each individual, should leave us breathless. But instead we have people who hate their body, find their identity in their body, constantly wanting to change their body. Romans 7, who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death, this corruption, this confusion, this condemnation? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ, who gives me a new image of what humanity looks like, redeemed, restored, renewed. And the Apostle Paul goes on, the same one who wrote that says, I have been crucified with Christ, the I that lives in condemnation and confusion. I have been crucified with Christ. I, that confused, condemned life, that confused picture, I no longer live, but Christ, the one who is beautiful and perfect and human flourishing and God in the flesh and Redeemer and Restorer, Christ lives in me. So the life I now live, I live by faith and trust in the one who loved me, not treated me like an amusement ride or a condemnation piece, who loved me and gave himself for me. The Apostle Paul goes on and says, do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? The two become one. But whoever is united with the Lord is one flesh with him, one with him in spirit. Sex is not just skin to skin. You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals. Let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel. That's not sex. Sex is not body to body. It's body to body, soul to soul, spirit to spirit, present, committed, continuous, once off, statement forever. Heart to heart, totally. People say sex in the Bible is just repressed. I'm going to read you some verses from Song of Songs. Chapter 8, verse 6. Place me like, this is the woman speaking to the man. Place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. For love is as strong as death, its jealousy unyielding as the grave. It burns like blazing fire, like a mighty flame of the Lord. Many waters cannot quench love. Rivers cannot sweep it away. If one were to give all the wealth of one's house for love, it will be utterly scorned. And then she goes on to say, I'm a wall, and my breasts are like towers. Thus I have become in his eyes like one bringing contentment. There's a rich man, Solomon, had a vineyard in Baal Hamon. He let out his vineyard to tenants. Each was to bring for its fruit, 1,000 shekels of silver. But my own body, my own vineyard is mine to give. The 1,000 shekels, that's yours, Solomon. Go play with it. My body is beautiful and it is mine to give. Love is as strong as death. Can you see the picture of sex in the Bible? It is other. It is amazing. It is flourishing. So the answer here, verse 18, flee from sexual morality. Run and do not look back. Run from anything that moves you away from human liberation and togetherness and fullness as life was meant to be. Run. If you repent, verse 11, what some of you were, but you were washed. You were sanctified, made pure and perfect. You were justified, declared innocent in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God. You are, your body and your mind, no matter what you've done, no matter what's been done to you, you are new and fresh and white as snow. Apostle Paul says, flee from sexual morality. Or to put it positively, 1 Thessalonians 4, God's will for your life is your sanctification, that you will look more and more like Jesus, true humanity. And do you notice in Song of Songs chapter 8, it talks about contentment, satisfy. What lust does is it satiates, it helps me get a fix of something I'm hungering for. And the opposite of satiating is satisfied. Someone who is so content, someone who doesn't have to strive for the next thing and the next thing. Isn't that what pornography does? You watch more and more and more and more and more. and you may not end up as a rapist. But where is all the surveys and studies say the first point of a rapist begins? Almost always with porn. You start something, and more, and it disintegration, alienation. God is not after your happiness, because happiness is all about being satiated, just getting the next fix. Up and down, up and down. God is after your holiness, your satisfaction, your contentment in Him, that you will look like Him. The message today is for you is do not fall into sin, but fall into God. Sam Albury, he would say, the minister who said, people have been condemning me for not living out my same-sex attraction. He said, I am flourishing. And he said he's spoken to hundreds of other people with same-sex attraction who are flourishing, and he knows of thousands more, and they can't stand up and say it, because what would happen if they do? They'd be crushed. We do not want to crush or hurt or belittle anyone. God is saying here, there is a way to life. Walk in it. During this week, Kang and I and a number of the staff team went to a conference in Sydney, and Kang and I had parked about 15 minutes away from the conference site, and we walked over this bridge, and I thought it was a beautiful river, trees, beautiful river, Duck River, and you walk over it to the other side, and there's a big sign saying, do not touch, do not go in, do not fish, highly polluted. Don't go anywhere near it. There's an exclusion zone on the side fences, so you can't go into it. So highly polluted. God is saying here, essentially, that's not how it's meant to be. And when we unite with someone outside of the relationship that God's given for our flourishing and our good and our trust and our help, then it's like adding pollution into our soul. You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel. It's about as far away from God's plan for human liberation, beneficial life as you can get. Movies and television are lawful, but movies and TV shows, some are not helpful. I found University of Queensland in summer, one of the most unhelpful places, because how ridiculously short shorts the girls wore. And I'm not that strong not to look. I tried, but I found it incredibly hard. And so I mapped out a path, and I mean, I might say it's legalistic, but I love my wife. I want to honour her with everything. And it mattered. I felt a little bit apart from it. I could either be walking in close communion with God and my wife, or I could have a bit of cheap throwaway amusement. Apostle Paul gives one final reason to flee sexual immorality, verses 19 to 20. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? You know, that old thing, my body's a temple. No. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. God has come to dwell in us, cleansed us, forgiven us, renewed us, removed all our guilt and shame so he could come and live with us. The purpose that from all existence, that God would be our God, we would be his people, he would dwell with us, every tear wiped away, so that we would be blessed, no longer living under the curse, but renewed and forgiven to live the blessed life with him for eternity. And God wants our soul, our mind, and our body. And that sounds wrong for people who think that's restrictive. But the God who is all good says, I want it, and I want you to be my hands and feet. He made our body, he placed his spirit in our body, and he wants to use our body to bring love, not to need people more, not to desire people more, not to gain and want from them more, but so we can need them less and love them more. And one of the things that I found incredibly helpful as looking at this passage is, you are not your own, you're bought at a price. Therefore, honour God with your body. If we are the body of the Holy Spirit, the temple, our individual bodies, then what I look at with Jesus. And what I hunger for, I hunger for with Jesus, because he is inside of me by his Holy Spirit. And so when I look at something, now I'm trying to ask myself, Jesus, do you want to watch this together? Do you want to do this together? Don't go back to slavery. The slogan for the Corinthians was, all things are lawful for me. If it feels good, do it. But our slogan is, we are bought at a price. We were made with love. We were redeemed with love. We are kept with love. We are shown how to live a life of rich, free, beneficial, sacrificial, filled to the full satisfaction life. Why would we go elsewhere? So glorify God with your body. Let's pray. Liberty, Father, beneficial life, free, sanctified, clean, pure, forgiven, washed, satisfied, content. That's who we are in you. You've given us outlet for our desires, and they're good. We thank you for Song of Songs. Help us to honour you and each other with our bodies. In Jesus' name.